Welcome to Daily in the Word, a ministry of Dr. Paul Chappell and the Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California. For more from Dr. Chappell, visit his blog at paulchappell.com. And for books and other resources for Christian growth, visit strivingtogether.com.
Does life ever overwhelm you and seem to demand more than you can give? Well, friend, God wants to come alongside of you, and from within you, His Holy Spirit, He wants to give you power for life. Next on Daily in the Word with Dr. Chappell, we examine power for life. Stay with us. One experience that's universal to human life is that life can become overwhelming. We can convince ourselves that we have everything under control, but in our conscience we know it's fragile. We know that suffering or hardship can change our situation. And that's where God's Holy Spirit comes in. When we have a relationship with Him, He offers us a power for living and for life that suffering and hardship cannot take away. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. We invite you to visit us at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org for many resources that will help you in your spiritual growth. But today, we're studying power for life. Today we examine God's power to give liberty. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 17 through 18 is our text. Here's Paul Chappell.
One of the most amazing thoughts for me to ponder as an American and as a Christian is this simple fact that you can live in the land of the free and yet not be free. You can have a lot of freedom. You can have the freedom of speech, and you can have the freedom to go out and work and make a buck, and you can have the freedom to vote and to serve in various capacities. But if you do not truly know the Lord, if you're in the bondage of sin, then you may not have the freedom that truly God intends for you to enjoy. Many are incarcerated today. Many are under the bondage of alcohol and drugs and anger and hatred. And while they live in a free land, there is no freedom in their heart. And so the Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, that is where real liberty and freedom can be found. Today we're going to learn in the Bible that our national and personal freedom depends upon how we respond to the truth of God and how we respond to the person of the Godhead that indwells the believer whose name is the Holy Spirit of God. I believe it was John Adams, our second president, who said, "July 4th ought to be commemorated as the day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty." Our founders understood that this nation became a nation because of the mighty hand of God, and that we should thank Him and rejoice in His goodness to our nation. Thomas Jefferson wrote these words, and they are found at the Jefferson Memorial in Washington, D.C. "God, who gave us life, gave us liberty. And can the liberties of a nation be thought secure when we have removed their only firm basis, a conviction in the minds of the people that these liberties are a gift from God, that they are not to be violated, but to receive His wrath? Indeed, I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just and that His justice cannot sleep forever." Our founders believed that God was the giver of liberty, and that when we as a nation neglect God and turn our back on God, that indeed our liberties will be less and less and less. President Ronald Reagan in 1982 gave this announcement in a radio address. He said, "My fellow Americans, 206 years ago, one of history's greatest adventures began when a small band of patriots in Philadelphia resolved to stake their all, their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor for freedom and independence. On that distant day, America was born. Our country has been an inspiration for free men and women around the world ever since. The scriptures tell us, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And for more than two centuries now, our blessed land has grown and prospered, guided by a deep faith in the Almighty and an unquenchable thirst for freedom. You see, many of our founders and many of our God-fearing leaders over the years have understood that freedom is a gift from God Almighty, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, that's where freedom can be found. Now, when you open your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapters 3 and 4, you're going to find this chapter speaking of the relationship between the Old and the New Testament message of the law and grace. And it's going to show that in the New Testament, the Spirit of the Lord has unveiled the truths about Jesus Christ, truths that many in the Old Testament did not fully comprehend, and that it was by this unveiling of the Holy Spirit that men and women heard of Christ and understood Him to be the Messiah and received the liberty and the forgiveness that only Jesus Christ can give. Paul the Apostle in this passage is showing that the law of the Old Testament was not the way of salvation, but it showed our need for salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. It showed that all of us cannot find liberty merely through the Old Testament law, but through salvation that is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible summarizes that in 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 17 when it says, "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." Spiritual freedom is a gift from God Almighty, and where that spiritual freedom through Christ abounds, spiritual freedom becomes freedom in the land. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I heard of a preschool teacher who was approaching the 4th of July time, and she wanted her students to learn more about patriotism and about freedom. And she said, "Boys and girls, we're going to celebrate a special holiday that reminds all of us that we are free. All of us have freedom, and we are free." And while she was speaking, one of her 4-year-old students walked up to her, and his name was Trevor. He walked up to the teacher. He said, "Miss Phelps, you need to understand, I am not free. I am four." Now, even in this great land with a lot of our freedom, there are some folks that can get frustrated and speak out their mind as well, and that in itself is one of our freedoms. But you know, the Bible says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I want you to learn with me in these next few moments about the liberty that comes from God's Spirit into the life of every believer. If you have your outline this morning, notice first of all, there is liberty in salvation. There is liberty in salvation. I want you to see that, if you would, as we read in verse number 18 of our text. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, "But we all, with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from the glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." Now, there is liberty in salvation, first of all, because we are taught by the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God uses the Bible, the Word of God, to show us the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible speaks of that in verse 18. It says, "With an open face beholding, as in a glass, the glory of the Lord." And here we see the Holy Spirit teaches us and guides us concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who opens our understanding concerning Christ. And the Bible, which is sometimes spoken of as the perfect law of liberty, is like a mirror showing us our need for the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus says the Holy Spirit is our teacher. He is the one who unveils the truth of Christ to us. And as the Old Testament had the law, and many times the Old Testament Jews did not understand the teachings of the coming Messiah, the Holy Spirit unveiled that truth. Notice it says in verse 18, it says, "But we all with an open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed into that same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." You see, the Bible says that we all have been changed by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit of God. We are changed from glory to glory, referencing in this context from the Old Testament to the New Testament. Change came by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now notice what it says there in 2 Corinthians 3:14. It says, "But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil, untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. So the veil that sometimes people could not see through was removed by the Holy Spirit, and they understood who Jesus was. And that's what is meant when it says in verse 18, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God, notice this, hath revealed them unto us. How? By his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now, what's our theme this year? Remind me real quickly. By his Spirit. And so salvation begins by his Spirit. We are changed from glory to glory, verse 18 says, as by the Spirit of the Lord. And once the Holy Spirit reveals Christ to us and we are saved, then we can grow in our understanding of the Word of God by his Spirit, who teaches us and who guides us into the truth. And so we are taught by the Spirit. Notice, secondly, we are changed by the Spirit. We are changed by the Spirit. Do you see that in verse 18? It says, we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, speaking of the Word of God, are changed into that same image from glory to glory by the Spirit of God. The word change there in the Greek is an interesting word, metamorpho. It's the Greek word for metamorphosis, and it simply means we are changed from the inside out. So the Holy Spirit teaches us that we need Christ, and when we receive Christ as our Savior, we are changed from the inside out. How many of you understand that new birth, that inside to outside change, is a miracle from God? Well, you can take a teenager and you can try to change him from the outside. You can threaten him within an inch of his life. You can tell him that he's going to lose every privilege. You can try the opposite. You can try to buy him off and tell him if he does real well, you'll give him presents and buy him all kinds of clothes. And you can restrict and you can bless and you can try all these things. And yet many times their behavior never seems to change. But you know what? You take that same teenager and you let him accept Jesus Christ as his Savior, and suddenly everything changes. He is changed from the inside out. Now he wants to do what is right. Now he wants to be in the house of God. Now he wants to obey his parents. Why? Because he's been metamorphosized, born again by the Holy Spirit of God. From a child of this world, he becomes a child of God. From a condemned individual, he becomes a forgiven individual. Romans 8:2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Jesus said in John 3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And the Apostle Paul said it this way in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things pass away. Behold, all things have become new. What I'm saying this morning is that if you want liberty, you'll find liberty in salvation. The old ways of bondage that held you back are dropped off, and the chains fall to the ground. And now there is new life in the Lord Jesus Christ, where the Spirit of the Lord is at work. And when the Holy Spirit is showing you that we need to be changed and that Jesus is that change agent, the Son of God who can forgive our sin, when we receive Christ as our Savior, then we begin to live in the liberty that Jesus Christ brings. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But notice, if you would, secondly, there is not only liberty in salvation, there is liberty in service. There is liberty in serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, many times people view serving the Lord as just the opposite of liberty. They view serving the Lord as kind of a bondage, like, I got to go to church, or I got to work in the nursery, or I've got to do this or that. But the fact of the matter is that when you truly understand what Christ has done for you, he has liberated us not to serve ourselves, but that we might serve him. And there truly is liberty in serving. Now you say, Pastor Chapel, are you just trying to get us to do stuff? Or where did you come up with this notion? Well, let's look at the Bible, all right? Notice chapter 4 and verse 1 here. We know that verse 18 speaks about salvation, metamorphosis, being changed from glory to glory by the Spirit of God. But notice, if you would, in verse 1 of chapter 4. What's the very first word there this morning? Therefore. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry. Now someone says, whoa, we went from being born again to getting in the ministry, where's Bible college in there? You know, where's seminary in there? And here is one of the great truths of the Christian life, and that is that we have been saved to serve. Paul said, therefore, now that I'm saved, I'm in the ministry. Now that I'm a Christian, I have the opportunity and the liberty to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. All of us are saved to serve. Most of you know Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. It says, for by grace are you what? Saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. But what does verse 10 say? It's in your notes, Ephesians 2:10. It says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So the Bible says that God saved us. Yes, that means forgiveness. That means a home in heaven. But while we're here on this earth, it says, he has created us as his workmanship, created unto good works. And so serving the Lord is one of the great joys of a born-again Christian. Whether it's witnessing, whether it's preaching in the rest homes, as many of our men are doing this morning, driving a bus for underprivileged children, whatever it is, my friend, part of the Christian life is serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And I have learned that when someone is truly saved and they have been liberated from sin, there is a desire in their heart to serve the King of Kings, the one who died for them. And they'll find a way to get that done. I heard of a lady last Christmas time that was with the Salvation Army, and she was downtown in another town ringing her bell. And a police officer came up to her and said, excuse me, ma'am, but we have an ordinance here that you can't ring the bell in this particular location. And it kind of crushed her. She had a tear in the corner of her eye when the man walked off. She wondered about the legality of the ordinance. She didn't really know what to do and was a little frustrated. But the next day, the officer rounded the corner. There was the same woman. There was a tremendous line of people coming and placing money in her little kettle. And he walked up to see what was going on. When he looked a little closer, she had two signs in her hand. One said ding and one said dong. And she had found a way to get her job done. You know what? When you love somebody, you're going to find a way to get the job done. And the love for the Lord Jesus Christ is what comes into the liberated soul, is a heart to serve Him. Service begins with salvation. Secondly, service in the Christian realm will always state the truth. It will always state the truth. Now notice this in verse 2. This is a powerful verse, and I want you to see it, speaking about liberty and serving Christ. It says, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Now here we see that the Apostle Paul speaks of his salvation. Now he speaks of his service for the Lord. And he says, as I serve the Lord, he says, I'm renouncing the things of dishonesty. And he says, I'm not walking in craftiness like false teachers. But he says, my life is a faithful testimony so that people who observe me, their conscience tells them and testifies to them, there is something different about my life. His life was a life truly given over to the truth. And a Christian service will renounce the heresies and the lies that are about in society and will speak the truth. Notice that again. We have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. Now, how many of you believe that the devil is a liar? Notice what the Bible says, in fact, in verse 4 in your Bible there. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. You know, this may sound very simple, but for the sake of time, how many of you have recognized there's millions of people in this world who are not followers of Christ? And many of them are good people and sometimes even religious people, but for whatever reason, they just don't see Jesus like you see it. And the Bible indicates that there is someone who has blinded their eyes. And whenever we come across blinding philosophies. There should be a loving approach to, in the spirit of Christian service, sharing the truth with those who need to hear what the Bible says, and not walking in craftiness or dishonesty, but speaking the truth in love. Why? Look at verse 3. It says, because if the gospel is hid, that is, if I keep the light under the bush and if I don't share the truth, then it's hid to people that are lost, people who need to be set free, if we hide the truth of the gospel. And so we must recognize our responsibility to state the truth of the gospel. Notice what it says in your notes there concerning the devil as a liar. It says that in verse Revelation 12 and verse 9, and the great dragon was cast out, the old serpent called the devil and Satan, notice, which deceiveth the whole world. Ephesians 2:2, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Folks, we don't have time to go through all the lies of the devil, but now that we have been liberated through salvation, and now that we are serving the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to serve the Lord in truth, and we need to renounce those things which are wrong and false, and we need to speak the truth, because there are lost people in this world whose eyes are blinded by the wicked one, and they need to see the glorious light of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone referred me to a book lately written by the Dalai Lama. And many politicians in Washington and many Hollywood stars and so forth, they love to flock to people that are of this Buddhist or Middle Eastern philosophy and so forth, and listen to the talks that are given. And yet sometimes when you compare them to the light of the gospel, it is unbelievable what is said. And in this new book, which is entitled Toward a True Kinship of Faiths, and the subtitle On the Path Toward a World Religion. By the way, if you want some insight to that, get some of the messages from last fall from the series Times Are Changing off the internet. But the fact of the matter is that in this book, which is about the unification of all faiths, the Dalai Lama said, and I quote, in other words, one can be a religious pluralist, yet maintain for oneself the doctrinal aspects of one's own tradition as representing definitive truth. In other words, you can believe that all the religions of the world are right and that your religion is right, and it all still works out. My friend, that is a lie from the pit of hell. Jesus said, broad is the road of destruction, straight is the way of salvation, and we must recognize this morning, you can't give credence and say all these are right and this is right. Jesus said it himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. And a Christian servant speaks the truth in love, and a Christian servant renounces the hidden things of dishonesty. Why? Because if we hide the gospel by saying Jesus is just a part of this big pluralistic concept of all roads leading to heaven, we're hiding the gospel for the people who need it the most. And so a Christian servant renounces the lies of Satan, and a Christian servant lives out the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there's liberty in salvation. That's when we meet the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there is liberty in serving. Some of you might remember the phrase quoted by a great politician years ago who said, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. How many remember that? You know, a lot of times people come to church with this idea, what can the church do for me? Or what can God do for me? And by the way, if you're here today in need, we don't care how you got here. We're just glad you're here today.
Well, friend, you've been listening to Dr. Paul Chappell on today's edition of Daily in the Word, teaching a series entitled Power for Life. The way to tap in or to receive or to avail yourself of this power is to enter into a relationship, a personal faith relationship with Jesus Christ. Friend, if you've never made that decision, we would love to talk with you more about it. Or you can make that decision right now in the privacy of your own heart between you and God. Why don't you bow your head and pray and do what the Bible says, call upon the name of the Lord, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And friend, you can bow your head, confess that you would like Jesus Christ to come into your heart as your personal Savior. It would be the greatest decision you could ever make, and you could make it right now. We would love to hear from you as a listener and know that Daily in the Word is touching your life. You can call us toll-free at 1-800-201-7748. Again, that's 1-800-201-7748. You can also visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Again, that's dailyintheword.org. You'll find links to Pastor Chappell's newest resources, his blog posts, recent podcasts, and many other resources that will encourage you in your spiritual growth. We are quickly approaching the annual Spiritual Leadership Conference, June 8th through the 11th at Lancaster Baptist Church in Lancaster, California. Dr. Chappell and the staff at Lancaster Baptist and West Coast Baptist College invite you and those you serve with to several days of wonderful preaching, inspiring music, and a theme of renewal that will renew your heart and your love for the Lord and His work. Again, the Spiritual Leadership Conference, June 8th through the 11th. You can find out more about it when you visit online at dailyintheword.org. And don't forget, you're invited to the Alaska Cruise, August 9th through 16th, 2014. Join Pastor Chappell and guests and friends from all over the country for a week of tremendous Bible teaching and preaching, Christian fellowship, wonderful music, and the beauty and grandeur of Alaska's Inside Passage. You can find out more information about the cruise or reserve your place when you visit again, dailyintheword.org. Don't forget, that's the Alaska Cruise, August 9th through the 16th, 2014. Thanks for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word. And until next time, have a great day.